But Gary Sapp is with us, and he is with an organization called Mission of Mercy. And I remember years ago, how many of you ever watch the PTL Club? That's been a long, long time ago. Well, I remember a fella by the name of Mark Buntaine that used to be on there from time to time, and he started Mission of Mercy. Now, he's gone to be with the Lord, hadn't he? And he started it in the 50s. And they do lots of things in lots of countries. But the thing that that we talked about last night, and I'm sure Gary will share more with you, is that they build schools, and to educate children. And they also do sponsorships for kids. And I think that they take care of over 41,000 kids in many, many countries. And one of the things that we want to grow in as a church is our world outreach. We haven't always been real good at that. We're getting better at that. We've hooked up with some organizations, Never Thirst and Watoto Children. And I met Gary in, North Carolina? Clayton, North Carolina, at an art conference. And I actually won they were giving away these little Visa cards that had money on it. And, I always register for stuff, and I don't remember ever winning anything for it, but I did. I won like a $25 gift card. It might have been a $50 gift card. And that's where I first met Gary, and he calls me all the time. He just bugs the fire out of me. Just can I come to your church? Can I come to your church? And we've never really been able to work out a date. And I'm glad that we worked one out. And I think you're going to enjoy him, and you're going to love his heart and the ministry that he's involved in. I think it's going to be a blessing to you. So I want you to open your heart today and receive Gary Sapp as our guest today. Would you give him a good hand as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor. I love you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can I?
Crossroads, you're dismissed.
Okay. Can I speak from down here? Is that okay?
They won't be able to see you.
Oh, they won't?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
You got to be in the light.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. He says I had to be in the light, so I'll just stay up here then. But we're glad to be here. We live in West Monroe, Louisiana, and it's not too far from here, about 5 hours. But Mission of Mercy is home-based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Dee and I are just honored to be here. Honey, stand and at least let them know who you are. As Pastor said, Mission of Mercy was started in 1954 with one school. Mark and Huldah Buntaine were evangelists, and they went to Calcutta, India for 1 year. That 1 year has lasted up to now. Mark died in 1989. Huldah's still living. She's 85 years old and still travels. Isn't that amazing? 6 months out of the year, she travels in the United States, and the other 6 months, she lives in India. And it's amazing. I hope that when I'm 85, I'm able to travel. Not that I want to, but that I'm able to. She believes in what God's called them to do, and we believe in it because 8 years ago we joined up with these fine folks, and Dee and I travel 45 weekends a year all over America. And like Pastor said, if I ever meet you, I'm going to call you because I want to come to your church. And see, when pastors, you meet them, they tell you about their church. Then they, some of them I don't call because I don't want to go to their church. But Pastor and I just connected and I thought, I'm going to keep calling. I'm going to go to Batesville, Arkansas. I'm so glad he allowed us to come and to share with you what we do in Mission of Mercy and everything about it. We do feed, clothe, educate, medically take care of over 41,000 kids every day. The reason I say over 41, because it changes every day. People go online and sponsor kids every day. If you have an iPhone or a Droid, we have a free app on your phone that you can download. You just go to your app store, download it free. It's called Mission of Mercy. One Child Matters. That's our theme. And you can go online and sponsor a child online, or you can do it today through us. And the reason we did it, I have 30 kids with me this morning for this service. The reason I have 30 for this service is because these 30 have not, we've had them the longest time, and they don't have a sponsor. A couple this morning here in this service has have already sponsored a child. They stopped by the table on their way in and was talking to my wife, and now they're sponsoring a child, and we so much appreciate it. And we only have one sponsor per child. We don't have more than one person. You are the only sponsor for that child. You are its lifehood. You are the food. You are the clothes. You are the education. You are the medical needs. Everything that that child needs, your $34 takes care of that. And it's an amazing thing, because the number one question that I get asked all the time is simply this: how long do I have to do this? You just do it as long as you can. We don't set a time limit on it. We just tell you, just do it as long as you can. Now, a lady walked up to our table in Houston, Texas, and after the service, and she said, "When you offered those children, I didn't take one." And she said, "I'll tell you why I didn't take one." She said, "I have a question to ask you." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "How many of those children do you and your wife personally sponsor?" Well, I had never told anybody, because I just didn't think it was anybody's business. So I told her, I said, "Well, ma'am, we sponsor 10 every month." And she said, "Well, I'll take 5. And I said, "Well, ma'am, I am honored that you're going to sponsor 5 kids. But," I said, "let me ask you a question. Why did you ask me that?" She said, "I'm tired of preachers coming to our church asking me to do something that they don't even do themselves." And I thought, wow. That's pretty good, because they are preachers that'll do that. They want you to give, but they don't give. They want you to do this, but they don't do it. Now, Dee and I have 10 kids that we take care of. We didn't take 10 all at one time because we weren't able to, but over the years, God has just kept nudging us to take another child. And so we've done that. Now, she says we need to take 2 more because they're cheaper by the dozen. But I won't tell you, they're not. They're $34 a month. I told her she'd been watching too many movies. And I said, "They're $34 a month." And I told that lady, I said, "Ma'am, I don't get a discount just because I work for Mission of Mercy. Because if I took the $34, that child would not get what it needs. And these children, just like this little boy here who lives in the Dominican Republic, he was born December the 30th, 1997. This little boy doesn't have a sponsor and needs a sponsor desperately, because right now he's in school. We're taking care of him. But here's the deal. Once you take this child, then that gives us the liberty and the freedom to go get another child once you sponsor these children. And we just don't take them just because they want to be in school. We do home visits. I mean, we check the children out. We make sure they're really in need of what they really need before we ask you to sponsor a child. And it's just an amazing thing. I got a letter. I brought this with me. I got a letter this week from one of our kids. And, of course, we have those 10 kids, and you write to them, and they write back to you. And we got this letter this week from one of our little boys, and it just was so cute, because he's in Ethiopia. And here's what he wrote. Now, he's only 7 years old, but here's what he wrote. He wrote it in his language, and then our translator put it on the other side. And he says, "How are you doing? I am happy for you to love me. I am happy for you to have me. I am very well. I keep going to school. I have friends here, I love to go to Sunday school. I love you. Thank you for your care and love for me. I pray for you in my class every day." And then he signed his name to it. And you know, the marvelous thing of that is the fact that, see, we just don't feed them and clothe them and educate them and take care of their medical needs with the money that you give us. We give them Jesus every day. Every day they have an opportunity in school, because they have a Bible class, and at the end of that Bible class, they have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I'll give you another a great note right here. 83% of the children that we sponsor and that are sponsored by people in America have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 83%, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We operate 333 schools and orphanages, and we operate them in 17 countries of the world. And so from that one little school in India, we now have spread out into 17 countries and have 332 more schools that we take care of all these kids. We don't do this because we don't have anything to do. We do this because there's a need there. In each one of these, I'm going to show you a two-minute video, and I want you to look at this video this morning with me. Now, they're keying it up and getting it ready. Here's the deal. These people that you're going to see on this video, we did not stage them. They came to us and said, can we tell the public what it means to sponsor a child? And so we put this video together. And so, guys, if you will, this morning, go ahead and roll that video.
I chose to sponsor a child, Mission Mercy, because I wanted to make a difference.
Sponsoring a child with Mission of Mercy was an opportunity. I took this opportunity because I think it was basically the right thing to do.
I felt like God was working on my heart, kept nudging me and nudging me. And I kept finding reasons not to. And then I realized that all of those reasons were about me and not about the difference I could make in a child's life.
It's a great opportunity for us to step out of ourselves, use the gifts that God has given us to actually help change the life of a child that is in more need than I could possibly ever understand.
I go outside of my own circumstances, and I'm able to look beyond and able to help somebody.
Prayer is a vital part of sponsoring my little girl, Ruth. I can intercede on her behalf and just pray that she can grow into an incredible young woman who knows she can make a difference in her community and in her family.
The crazy thing about blessing other people is that sometimes, and actually most of the time, you're blessed yourself.
To me, child sponsorship is standing in the gap for a little girl. I am able to offer her a choice, whereas poverty takes that choice away.
It's also about having the opportunity to speak into their spirit, speak into their soul, to speak truth into their life.
To have their needs met, to receive food and medical treatment, and have these tangible examples of God's love.
There have been some difficult times that she's prayed for me as well, and it's incredible on my part to know that she is praying for me just as I'm praying for her.
I see the child sponsorship as a ministry that I'm ministering to this little girl, but in fact, she's ministering to me by sending me verses and praying for me.
At any point in my day, I can stop what I'm doing and I can pray for her. God, please, please be with her, make her more aware of your presence. Help her to know that someone cares, that you hear her, that she can come to you with anything.
God's called us to reach out to the widow, to the orphan, and that's true worship. So absolutely, sponsor a child. It will change your life, it will change that child's life, and in doing that, the world has changed already.
One child really does matter. It really does. And we have children that have accepted Christ and have gone home and told their parents. Their parents have in turn came to our schools. They've accepted Christ. And now those whole families serve Christ every Sunday. They worship in a church every week. And we tie them to a church. We connect them to a church because we want them to advance in the kingdom. You get a profile just like this that it gives you a picture of the child, the story of the child. Again, like I said, you write to them, they write back to you. There's a blue envelope in each one of these. And if you take the blue envelope and go home with it, then you've kidnapped our child. And we don't have any way of knowing who has that child. So the blue envelope, you fill out and you leave it here today at the table, or either we'll take it up at the end of the service today. And you can put it on a credit card, debit card. It's safe with us. You can write a check. If you do, make it out to MOM, M-O-M, Mission of Mercy. Our acronym is MOM. Or you can just say, bill me. and we'll bill you. There's a place on there for that, and we'll just send you a bill every month. You'll get a statement regardless if you pay today or if you pay next week or if whenever. Just remember that blue envelope has to stay here with us today. I need about three men to come help me real quick, if you don't mind, just real quick, three people, three men. Thank you, guys. Grab these with you, if you will. There's 30 here, and I just need 30 people that will raise your hand and say, I will do this as long as I can. I'll do it as long as God provides that $34, I will do this. And I can promise you this, that God will do it, and I'll tell you why. We have teenagers that sponsor kids that work. We have classes that do it. We have two individuals that go together and do it. The reason I'm just sharing this with you is God said to me when we started sponsoring kids, God said, I'll get it to you if I can just get it through you. Talking about the money. So God will make sure it's there. I can promise you that. You will never make a choice to do something for somebody that cannot do it for themselves that God will not provide the money for you to do it. I promise you that. So I just need 30 people real quickly raise your hand and say, hey, I'll take one. Hands are going up. So guys, quickly, if you'll go to them this morning, I just need you to help us today and give these kids a new life. And bless these kids and help these kids. If you would mind doing that this morning, real quickly, just keep your hand up. They'll get to you. And go ahead, and while I'm speaking this morning, fill out that envelope, that blue envelope, and we'll take that up at the end of the service this morning. And appreciate it so much. Looks like they've given out about five or six. So, you know, if... anyone else, please just quickly raise your hand. I don't want to take too much time this morning, but you say, well, it's important. Yeah, it is important because these kids, they need your help. They need somebody to love them and take care of them. So is anybody else that would take one today? Anybody at all? Okay. Just hand those back, guys, to my wife right there, and she'll take care of those. And so this morning, thank you for letting us be here today, Pastor. We appreciate it so much. If you change your mind, Dee will be at the table out there because it looks like there's about 20 of them left. And so if you change your mind, just please go by the table on your way out today and pick up one today. 2 Kings chapter number 4, I have about 15 minutes, and I want to share with you this morning from that chapter. If you can listen fast, I can speak fast. Is that a good deal? Okay. All right. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to take time to read this to you this morning, but there's a very interesting story here in 2 Kings chapter number 4. There's a lady in this story that has a real problem. The problem that she has, her husband has died and she has no way of making a living. Her husband had been serving the prophet Elisha. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it doesn't say why he died. It doesn't say if he had a heart attack. It doesn't say if he had a stroke. It just doesn't tell us why he died. It just says he died. Well, along comes the prophet Elisha, and she says to him, my husband, your servant, has died. And you know how much he loved the Lord. She said, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. And so the man of God is looking at her because you see in those days, if you had children that could work, they could come and take your children and work them until the debt was paid and then send those children back home to you. Well, in this situation, this lady needed those two boys to make a living, to help her and to keep them making it and surviving. And now the creditor who she owes is saying to her, I'm coming to take those two boys. I'm coming to get them. This lady needed a major miracle in her life. And so she is not knowing what to do. The man of God happens to come along and he says to her, well, let me ask you this. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? She said, I have nothing at all except a little bit of oil. I've sold everything. We have gotten rid of everything and we still owe this creditor and still cannot pay him. That's all I have is a little bit of oil. And the man of God made this statement. He said, tell your boys, go collect every jar they can find. And then he put this on the end of that statement. He said, don't get just a few. Don't come back here with a few jars. You see, Elisha, the prophet of God, knew a miracle was going to take place. But here's the deal. He knew it would not take place if that lady and those two boys had not followed the directions of God. The reason most people do not get miracles in their lives, the reason most people don't have things happening in their life for good like they wanted to, is because we don't know how to follow the directions of God. We listen to other voices and not God's voice. Now, God speaks to us in three different ways. He speaks to us through the Word of God. Whatever's happened in your life in the past, whatever's happening in your life right now, whatever will happen in your life in the future, the answer is in that book right there called the Word of God. He's got all of the answers for you. All of the directions are right there. You just got to know how to follow the directions of God. But the situation is, I had a man walk up to me in Mobile, Alabama a few weeks ago, and he said to me, he said, I wanted to sponsor one of those kids, but he said, I really was trying to, in my mind, fathom how I could get $34 every month. And I said, well, what did you do? Did you sponsor one? He said, no, I hadn't, but I'm fixing to. And I said, well, I'm glad, pick you out a child. I said, but what did you come up with? How'd you? He said, well, and I didn't preach this sermon on follow the directions of God. He said, well, he said, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure out how can I sponsor one of these kids, because I want to do this and I want to do it because they need my help, and I know that I'll be their only sponsor, and he's going through all this stuff with me, and I'm listening to him, and he says, and all of a sudden he said, it dawns upon me, I have three cell phones that I'm paying $60 a month for one, $60 for two, $60 for three. He said, I'm putting out $180 a month. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said to me, get rid of one of those cell phones. You don't need three cell phones. He said, so in the morning, I'm going and shutting one of them off so I can sponsor one of those kids and still have money left over after that. I said, well, that's the way God works. I said, we just have to learn to listen to God. And folks, that's the way it is in life. If you don't know how to follow the directions of God, you're going to get yourself in big trouble and a big mess that you don't want to get into. This woman needed a miracle. But if she had not followed the directions of God, coming from the man of God, because the second way that God gives us directions is through men and women of God. We have to learn to listen. When the pastor's preaching or someone is speaking, God will use those words and use things they say to give you direction. You just have to learn how to do it. I had a lady that walked up to our table and she made this statement to me. She said, I want to sponsor one of those kids, but she said, I know it was the devil. He kept telling me I couldn't do it. He kept telling me this was going to happen and that was going to happen. And she said, it's really kind of like what one of those ladies said. It was all about me and it was one of those things. And she said, but I've decided, hey, if God's in this, God will supply the money and God will take care of it. And so therefore, I'm going to take one. And if the money's not there, then I won't worry about it. But she said, I'm just going to follow the directions of God. And I said, that's what you have to do, because that morning I had preached this sermon. If you think this is the first time I've ever preached this sermon, think again, because it's not the first time. But the thing it is, I asked God what he wanted me to speak on this morning, and this is what God laid on my heart, that we've got to learn how to follow the directions of God. These boys had to go get jars. The man of God said, go get every jar you can find. Don't come back here with just a few, because the man of God knew that a miracle was going to happen, but only if they followed the directions of God. And so Dee and I have learned we have to follow the directions of God. Even times it goes against what we want to do. It goes against how we feel. It goes against what we think we should. But let me tell you something. Every time we have followed the directions of God, we've kept ourselves out of trouble. We've kept ourselves in shape. And I'll tell you something else. There's something about giving that opens the door for God to pour blessings out upon our lives. And not just upon our lives, but our kids' lives and all these things. I have people, Pastor, that I'm telling you, they walk up. I've had people walk up to me in restaurants and just give me money. I'm talking about just say, hey, I was sitting there, and while you were sitting there, God told me to give you this, and stuck their hand in my pocket. That's why I always wear shirts with pockets on them. Because if you're sitting down, it's hard for them to get it in that side deal. Guy put a $100 bill in my pocket. I didn't know it was a $100 bill until I got outside and got in my car. I'm just telling you, it's something about it. I don't know why, God. I talked to God one day. I said, God, I want to know something. What is it about you and money? Why do you use money? What is it? And this is what God said to me. God said, I chose to operate the kingdom on money because he said the hardest thing for people to do is let go of their money for kingdom business. He said, if they want something, they'll save up for it until they get it. Or they'll go buy it and they'll make notes on it. Nothing wrong with that. He said, but when you ask them to do something for the kingdom, he said, the hardest thing for them to do is let go of that $34 or that $80 or that $100 a month or whatever you've asked them to do. He said, that's the hardest thing for them to do. But he said, once they let go of it, once they break hold of giving, he said, it opens the windows of heaven, just like the book says, and pours out blessings on us that we cannot contain. I want to tell you this morning, when you break forth in your giving, when you break forth in doing what God tells you to do, I promise you, there's not a warehouse big enough in Batesville, Arkansas, or anywhere else to hold the blessings of God that he's got in store for you if we just learn how to follow his directions. It's just following directions. The boys take off and they go get every jar. Now, I want you to look at something with me today. They didn't have a car. They didn't have a bicycle. They didn't have a donkey. They had to walk. And they didn't live in no subdivision either. Those houses were far apart. They had to go get those jars and come back. They had to put forth effort to get their miracle. And it works the same way today. We got to do something to get our miracles from God. We've got to do something to get the blessings of God. If we don't follow that book, and now that book says we give, that book says we work, that book says we do this, if we don't do it, we're not going to receive the blessings of God. God's blessings are not just going to flow out on you because you go, well, hallelujah, I'm a Christian. Oh, no, there's some circumstances that come with being a Christian. And one of them happens to be the giving aspect. But here's the deal. They go get everything in the jars, and the Bible says in 2 Kings 4, they come back with all those jars, and then the man of God, this is a statement he said to them, Elisha said, now go inside and take that little bit of oil that you have left and pour into that empty jar, and it's going to fill up. Now, how many of you know that's dumb? Hello? Y'all still with me? Does that even make sense? No, it doesn't. You take a little jar, just a little jar of oil, then you're going to pour it into an empty jar and it's going to fill up. Can I tell you? Quickly, the devil would say, you got to be nuts. You think that's going to work? If God said it, it'll work. If God said it, it'll work. And so they go inside. Shut the door. They bring her a jar. Now, look at it in 2 Kings 4 when you get home. If you are, look at it now. It don't matter. Just know what's in there. Trust me, it's in there. It's there. She took that little bit of oil and started pouring. And when she started pouring, that jar started filling up. And finally, when every jar was full, the Bible says that she said to her son, bring me another jar. And he said, Mother, there is not a jar left. And then the Bible says the oil stopped flowing. So you know what that tells me? From the time she tilted that little oil she had and started pouring into that first jar, immediately, the oil started flowing and it never stopped until the last jar was full. So I pictured in my mind, they were taking those jars and jerking one out and putting one under. Because the Bible says it never quit flowing until the last jar was full. She tilted it up and she noticed something. She had the same amount of oil that she started with. You know why? Because God's a giver. God's a giver. If you know how to follow God's directions, he's a giver. And so she opens the door, shows the man of God, and here's what he says. Go sell the oil and pay all of your debt. And I love this part right here. You and your sons can live on what is left. God's never going to give you just enough to scrape by and get by. He will always give you more than enough. But don't gripe at God because you don't have what somebody else has. You might want to check your giving record against their giving record. Hello? All the time. And I don't understand this. And I'm closing with this thought. I do not understand this, Pastor David. I do not. I wished I did. Why is it that when God starts blessing people, other people get mad? I don't understand that. Dee and I get blessed, and people literally get mad. I had a man say to me, why are y'all so blessed? Why is it people that you talk about people giving you money? I got a car sitting in my, right now, I'm in a rental car because it's cheaper to drive that rental car than it is to drive my car. But I got a car sitting at the airport in West Monroe where I picked up that rental car that didn't cost me anything. Brand spanking new Buick LaCrosse given to us. Why? Because we're givers. But you know, people got mad when they gave me a car. People got mad. Oh, I don't understand that. I don't understand. He just, when he goes around preaching, he just swindles them. That's what he does. He just talks about, you know, give to me, give to me. No, you're not giving to me. Nobody's giving to me. No, Dee and I have learned that when we started giving above our tithe, hello? The tithe is the Lord's. 10% belongs to God. The book says that. I didn't write it. The book says that. Am I right, Pastor? 10% belongs to God. I don't get mad at me. I didn't write that. I just obey it. But after I give my 10%, then that offerings opens the windows of heaven, as I said earlier, and pours out those blessings that you can't contain. And I know people say this all the time. Well, does it come back in money? Sometimes it does. But eventually, truthfully, it all comes back in money. Because we don't go to the doctor as often. The roof lasts longer on the house. The tires last longer on the car. I had to buy tires the other day for my car. I have a buddy that owns a tire store, so I get them at his cost. He don't add nothing to it. You know why? It's called favor. You know why I get them at that? It's not because he likes me so much. It's because God and I connected him together. He ain't even a Christian. God and I connected him together because I'm a giver. I'm telling you, when you give, God will cause things to happen for your good. Hello? Some of y'all believe that and others don't. Well, it's true either way. I said it's true either way. Amen? That's what you say, well, why do you push these children like it? Because I know how important it is for that child to have food, clothes, and all the stuff they have. But I know what it'll do for you. I know what God will do for you. That's why I push it in the beginning. But here's the deal. The whole thing is this, that I got those tires, and he said to me, preacher, I can't believe the tires on that SUV lasted. My wife's got an 07 SUV. I don't know why. He said, I don't understand why they lasted as long as they did. He said, most people never get that kind of mileage out of the tires like that. I said, favor? It's called favor, Steve. Favor. He said, what? I said, favor. So I just found me a little door to witness there. It's called favor of God. God blesses me because, see, I'm a giver. And so I just witnessed to it. Boy, he stood there with his mouth open like, and I knew he never heard that before. So you see, God will use things that you can bless other people, not just always with money. So, but eventually it all comes back for the money because those tires lasted longer than they should have. We had a roof on our house lasted 23 years before it had to be replaced. Almost 23 years before it had to be replaced. Why? Because that's the way God does things. God will cause those things. We have a washer and dryer that's 15 years old in our house. Looks as good as it does right now the day we bought it. Still works perfectly fine. We have a freezer in our house that is over 37 years old. Still freezes. Now, my dad said to me the other day, why don't you go buy you a new freezer? Because you have to throw that thing out. Why? Why do I want to go buy it? That one's working fine. God's made it work for 37 years. I said that in one service.
and had this guy pass say to me, he said, "Boy, you better be careful bragging on that freezer." He said, "The devil will tear it up." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, if the devil tears it up, God will give me the money to go buy another one. Because let me tell you how I am about the devil. I'm just like Clint Eastwood. Go ahead, sucker. Make my day." I don't run scared of what the devil might do to me because I'm a giver. Because God says when you give, I will stop the devourer, that's the devil, away from your front door. And nothing will come nigh to you. Hello? Amen. So this morning, I'm just telling you, follow the directions of God. Pastor, come this morning. God bless you. Thanks for letting us be here.
Yes. Okay. It's time for us to give. It's time for our tithes and offerings. And also, if you would like to sow a gift into their ministry, we're going to give you that opportunity to do that. So you have your buckets at your row. If you would take those and pass them down, there are envelopes in those buckets. And whatever you're giving to, you just use one envelope, mark it on there what you...